With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, I just want to give you a trigger warning because we are going to be talking about eating disorders right now. Because tonight on RT1, there is a compelling new documentary called Anorexia, My Family and Me. And three very brave families share their stories. And one of them families joins me right now, Jenny and Josh. Hello, thank you so much for coming in to us this morning.
Hi, thank you for having us.
How are you?
Thank you so much.
I'm all right, yeah.
Yeah. Feeling okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge deal right now because the documentary is dropping tonight. Obviously, you know, you guys lived it and, you know, you kind of do these things in the moment and then it's coming out and you're kind of going, oh my God, crap, everybody else is going to see this now as well.
Yeah.
What made you decide to take part? Jenny or Josh, who wants to take that one?
Well, you were the one who agreed first.
So it was really, you know, it was the loneliness that I saw mothers go through. And I say mothers, but like caregivers obviously as well. But in the waiting rooms, it was mostly
the moms.
Other mothers. Yeah, like all the mammies of Ireland wandered under the corridors of the hospitals when we were inpatient or in the waiting rooms with the eating disorder. Mm. And they just all looked so exhausted and like exhausted with fear and worry and nearly what more can they do. And I just, my whole thing was I just wish that I could make another mom maybe feel less lonely for that small period of time,
well,
even when she watches it.
The way that you clearly want to feel as well, because I mean, there's obviously this level of, you know, like you don't understand really that everybody else is going through this or a lot of other people are going through this. But firstly, how has anorexia affected your family? Like, what is your story behind this?
Yeah, it's had a pretty big impact.
Yeah, really has.
Yeah, like obviously it's Josh who's like battling this and like I say bravely battling because he is bravely doing it. But it really does affect the whole household. And I think, Josh, you'd agree that it's the
Absolutely,
girls, like we've
yeah.
two girls as well. Josh is the eldest and it kind of comes into the house and takes everybody with it nearly.
Yeah, it's like, even though it is one individual going through it, the entire family has to deal with it as well. It affects everyone and can really take a toll on everyone, as we well know from going through it.
Mm-hmm. Josh, how about you? When this was presented to you to take part in this documentary, because this is your life at the end of the day, and I know that it affects your entire family, but how did that feel?
I agreed because I wanted to do something to help, like, spread awareness for it. There's not a lot of that out there to begin with, so anything we could do would help quite a bit. And I guess I wasn't really aware myself how big it would end up being.
Yeah.
As kind of like, it'll be good, but it won't be massive and I won't be gone here. then I realized very quickly that it is big.
Yeah, it is big because it's a big conversation that needs to be had.
It
needs
it is,
to be taken
yeah.
so seriously. And it's something that, I mean, as a nation, I think that we just kind of very much, you know, we flippantly go through eating disorders. You know, we're like, oh, no, you know, I'm just on this diet or I'm just on that diet
exactly.
kind of a thing. But to the point then, and it doesn't happen to everybody, but for someone like yourself, Josh, where it does become detrimental. And Jenny, when did anorexia come into your lives?
So if we were to be really honest, I'd say it started when Josh was 14, you know, and it's probably hard. And I know other moms have also kind of expressed that it's kind of hard to look back and you go, oh, like, I missed so much, but you're just in so much of the daily, like trying to help them through the day anyway. But yeah, since Josh was 14, it's been in our house and he's now 17.
Yeah.
So
this must have been so frightening for you to go through, or did you even recognize it at the time?
I think it was very frightening, but I didn't fully recognize it. Like going into the hospital first time, I was kind of still tricking myself into thinking it isn't that big.
It's not that big of a
that
deal.
Bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was only after going out of hospital and trying to get help for, did it kind of hit me, this is really big, and kind of not fully, even now, not fully aware of how scary and massive the problem was.
Yeah, because, I mean, it does take over your whole life. You talk in the documentary, Jenny, about trying to get early help for Josh and your frustration with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess as well, we're not new to having to kind of fight the services. Like, Josh is also autistic, and so I've been kind of dealing with it for a while. But yeah, it was hard. Like, I tried to get into our local community cams when Josh was 13, because he was really finding things difficult just in life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, obviously we couldn't get there. Unfortunately, our journey to getting help was having to present at A&E, which in itself can be quite a difficult thing for especially children. Mm-hmm. You know, that they have to go in through the hospital.
And there's a sense of urgency around it then as well. You know, like, as in, you kind of can nearly gaslight yourself into thinking, am I overreacting? Is this that big of a deal? But then you're living day to day watching your son deteriorate.
Yeah.
Josh, for yourself, like, can you pinpoint, like, any moment that you think that there was a trigger, that this happened, that, you know, you started experiencing anorexia in yourself? Like, was it like images in the media or anything like that?
I can't pinpoint exactly when it started, and oddly enough for me, a lot of the time it gets more muddier because I don't have social media. I don't like scroll through Instagram looking at like models or fake images of people, so I didn't have that like media presence of what I should look like. So it kind of creeped in a bit more secretly into my head and life. And like we say, it was probably 14, but I've no clue like when around that time it started. I can only tell that like part of me started to know at like 15 that something was wrong.
Yeah.
But I didn't really listen to it much and just brushed it off like it's probably not that big of a deal.
But also, I mean, you're still only 17 and like, you know, anything at 14, like, I can't remember what I did last week. You know what I mean? It's like, and trying to say this to you as well, like, can you pinpoint the exact moment? Of course you can't, because these things happen over time. In the end, Josh, you did go to John of God's for 67 days. Can you tell me about that time?
It almost blurs into like 1 week. Yeah. Whenever I look back, I have to like try to remember how long I actually was in there. It really felt like time didn't move the same way, and it was really, really strange. It was needed to help myself. I needed to break out from my life and like be able to look back at it in a different perspective, just to reset and get the ball rolling again. But it was very strange. You're in a hospital every day, surrounded by nurses and doctors and other patients. It's a very strange experience that, like, if I were to ask someone before I went in, what's it like, none of them could like accurately explain it, because it's so unique. You have to go through it if you want to understand.
But also, how could you describe it? You're not in there in the full of your health. Like, you're in there because there's something wrong with you, and you're seeking help, which means that you're not in a good mental state to be reporting back to anybody of what it should be like. Jenny, for you, like, that has to have been so incredibly hard to watch your eldest son, your eldest child, you have two more at home, to go through all of this.
It was the hardest thing, deciding that Josh was to even enter hospital was the hardest thing that I've ever had to do. You know, like, you can't see the bed that your child is going to go to sleep in.
Yeah.
You know, there's no...
He's not sleeping there with you at night either.
Yeah. Do you know, like, you go home, because we'd visit him every day, and you'd go home and walk by his bedroom and his bed was empty, and it just was the most heartbreaking thing ever. And I don't think that myself or Ray, my husband, have really processed it or dealt with it, because we're still very much in the throes of trying to help Josh. And, you know, Josh is still, you know, bravely battling this. So we weren't really able to process it, but it was absolutely horrific trying to ring him when he was sick.
You just want to be there for him.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't able to rub his head, you know, like he had been sick in the hospital, and I wasn't able to get him the hot water bottle or tuck him in and make sure it was the soft blanket or, you know, the usual things.
Josh
that you
is
do
like, mom.
I know. Listen, everybody likes their mom, like, tucking them in.
Yeah.
Especially when you're sick. That's all you want around you, and you just want to just melt and just be loved and stuff. But, like, you mentioned your husband Ray there, and we talked about your two other daughters as well. The documentary is called Anorexia, My Family and Me, because, like you said at the very beginning of this, this isn't just something that Josh is going through, and it's not something that you and Josh are going through. It's something your entire family are going through.
Yeah.
And I suppose even trying to navigate the conversations around it are incredibly difficult at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, we're a very open family. Like, I will talk about everything, and Josh will agree. So I have separate conversations with the girls. They're now 11 and almost 15. So they have to be kind of different conversations to suit them, but very open, because if it's not open, and if I'm not relaying, you know, what is happening, what is truthfully happening, it can be such a scary world for them to live in. You know, like, why is this all happening in our home? And, you know, our youngest kind of takes longer to process things. And I think, you know, I'd be worried currently about both of our girls and just how they are and how they're dealing with everything. Because, like I said, it does, it comes in and it runs through your family in a different way, you know. And unfortunately, it comes into your home looking like somebody you absolutely love and adore. You know, this eating disorder looks like my son, but it's not my son. You know.
And, like, I mean, moods as well. If anybody misses their breakfast and they don't get in as far as lunch, and you know, you can't concentrate properly, and it's a different ball game. If people are trying to speak to me and I haven't eaten, I'm like, maybe I need a coffee. What's going on here? You can't compute. So to have that disease take over your life as well, those conversations have to have been very difficult, because you were no doubt defensive, like, nothing's happening, I don't understand what's going wrong here. You know, it's not sunshine and rainbows. It's so hard. But these conversations are so important, that these things cannot be glossed over, that this is a disease that took over your son. Josh, as a teenage boy, like, how has this been for you? Because predominantly, and I'm not making a generalization, but it is, you know, teenage girls and women that go through these. So, like, how was it in your experience?
I think for the most part, the thing that is just different is when people, like, heard that I had it, or, like, I told them, it was mainly just a big shock to them. They're kind of like, I wasn't expecting you to have it. Like, barring that, I wouldn't know the major differences for it. I wouldn't even know exactly what I went through. Now, looking back, is still really fuzzy trying to remember things. But it really is just a strange challenge. Your life is very altered. Like, going through school, I'd have to take breaks out of at least two classes every day just to eat during school. And take breaks out of classes for other things to try and just stay kind of going through the day.
It's not lost on me either that we're asking you these questions and you were very much still in the throes of everything. This isn't something that just goes away overnight. And, like, you are doing so amazing, and to have done this documentary as well is going to help so many people, because 1,400 people are diagnosed with anorexia every year. They're just the people who are diagnosed with it. They're not the people who are actually, you know, suffering in silence or not realizing that it's an issue because, you know, society is kind of like, just get on with it. Just go with it. What would you say to any family who is just starting this right now, that this has creeped into their home and they feel a little bit overwhelmed and they don't know where to start?
Recovery isn't a clean process, mm-hmm. or a straight line. It's very messy and all over the place. So for whoever's going through it, it might feel like you've put in hours and hours of effort and work and got nothing back, but you will get something back really soon. And you might not notice it at the moment, but whenever you get through it, you'll be so grateful that it happens. And for anyone in the family, just that it will hopefully be easier the longer you go through it. It might get very messy at the start with, you know, them not wanting to get help, mm-hmm. them not realizing they need help, but eventually things can get easier and tidier,
yeah.
With the process of getting recovery.
You guys seem like you're a very open family, and you know, like, but you have those hard conversations, Jenny, which is so difficult. But communication is key in this. That you need, like, you obviously needed to ask for help or be willing to take the help that you realize that he needed. So I suppose that's a huge thing as well.
Yeah. No, when we first went to the hospital, we did speak about it. We had our plan made. Mm-hmm. But
Josh is smiling here.
But this was, you know, to go to Crumlin. But he didn't want to go.
Yep.
You know, and even trying to walk through those doors was hard. He was absolutely trying to get out of it. Or I say he was. It wasn't Josh. It was the eating disorder. It really wasn't him. And it was, maybe we'll just go in and have a look and then, like, we'll come back tomorrow. And I was like, no, the plan is made. Your choice is what fluffy socks you want to bring in the bag, not whether you're walking through the door or not.
This is what's happening. But I mean, you had to be, you know, you had to make those hard decisions.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you would never get out the other end of it.
No.
You've clearly come so far, you personally, Josh, and well done, because that is... I don't think people realise, unless they have been touched by anorexia or it's been around them, how incredibly life-consuming and all-consuming it is. And I just want to thank you guys, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, for coming in with us today.
Thank you.
Jenny Poole and Josh Poole-Williams, you're absolutely amazing. You truly are. And you're going to help so many people.
Thank you.
Just from these conversations. Anorexia, My Family and Me is on RT1 tonight at 9:35. If you have been impacted by this chat or you need help or advice, you can head on to bodywise.ie, stpatricks.ie or the hsc.ie.
FM with Laura Fox. Podcast.